good morning, everybody. Welcome to Promised Land. I want to welcome all of our folks watching online this morning. We are excited that you've come to worship the Lord with us. You might be watching from anywhere in the world, but we are excited that you're part of us. Let's give our online folks a hand this morning. Yes. Thank you, worship team. Y'all did amazing today. Today, I'm excited. We are going to continue in our extraordinary sermon series. Hasn't this been an awesome sermon series? Yes. Woohoo. One woohoo. One woohoo. Thank you to the woohoo. I think that was even Pastor Herbert. But we've been talking about how the grace of Jesus Christ, it takes ordinary people like you, like me, and makes them extraordinary for the sole purpose of building his kingdom. We have seen some amazing testimonies, some incredible testimonies. Jerry, your testimony just blew me away, what God has done in your life. Last week we saw Jacinta Ramos's testimony, just how powerful the grace of God is. And so I'm excited about this message. I'm going to try not to scream at you. I'm going to try not to spit on the front row here. But I'm excited because I get to bring you the great news that God's grace is going to take you places that you've never imagined. That the grace of God can take you farther than you've ever imagined. That he'll take you farther than you ever thought you could go. Way beyond your skills, way beyond your abilities, way beyond your education, way beyond who you know, the grace of God has a purpose for your life, and it wants to take you somewhere. I have a question for you. This is a poll. How many of you have been hired for a job that you know you did not qualify for? There's hands going up all over this building. I've been hired for a job that I did not qualify for, and I'm preaching to you today. But what we're talking about is the grace of God, and I'm here preaching to you today because of God's grace. Some of you have experienced some amazing grace in your life. And the thing about his grace is he takes ordinary people and he puts them in extraordinary places for building his kingdom. It's his kingdom. And last week we learned about the grace of Jesus, how it delivers us from the grip of addiction. It delivers us from the grip of addiction. It breaks chains in our lives. It breaks things that have been passed down in our families for generation and generation and generation. The grace of Jesus breaks addiction. Amen. The grace of Jesus takes things and says, I'm going to make a brand new creature out of you because of my grace. And so we've heard these messages over the past few weeks, and it's just been spectacular because we're seeing live examples of God's grace. We've seen some powerful testimonies. But the purpose of this message today is I want to expand our definition of grace. You see, grace is something, it's not just what you say before you eat a meal. That's not grace. You're thanking God for something, but grace is so much more. Grace is even more than the unearned, unmerited favor of God. It's greater. It is so much greater. You see, grace is not just this one-time event that we experience when we first start living for God, but we get to live in grace every day, every day, every day. And what's amazing about grace is our entire Christian experience, our entire Christian life can be driven and empowered by God's extraordinary grace. Hebrews 13:9 says, do not be led away by diverse and strange teaching. It says, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. I want this message today to strengthen your hearts by God's grace. Peter said we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so what I'd like to talk to you about today is how the grace of God completely changes your life. How it changes the way you respond. How it changes the way you live. How it changes the way you think. How it changes everything about you. And I've got an extraordinary example of God's grace. Check out this video on my brother Cody on his story of grace.
I just don't even understand what it was that God saw, how he would say, I'm going to spare this, you know, this kid. We had no money. We grew up with nothing. There were three different occasions I can remember being homeless. And by homeless, I mean like we would move somewhere new, move to a different state. From the time I was 2 years old, which was when my mother and father split and she left with me, until I was 15, I lived in 13 different states, and I don't even know how many cities during that time. She was coming home from bartending, and it was, you know, me taking care of my youngest brother because there was nobody else, and we didn't have money for anything. That, you know, she would just leave us, and she'd come home at 2-3 in the morning, completely drunk. I remember going to a new school and having a brand new program, having like a multiplication table or something dropped in front of me. And I'm like, I've never even seen this. And yet everybody else in the school had memorized it and they were excelling at it. And I always felt behind. I was drinking pretty heavily. I had friends that we would sneak out. His family owned a little corner store and we would sneak a Mad Dog 20 or something. And like, as a kid, it was my escape. Like, it was exciting, it was new, and it felt rebellious and it felt fun. And I'd also seen it my entire life. Like, I'd just seen that and expected that. I remember asking my mom, I said, Mom, when do I get to cuss? What's the right age that I'm allowed to cuss? Because it just seemed like that was the natural thing, that was life. I remember the service where, and just honestly, a childlike faith, there was an altar call. And at the altar call, Pastor Green, he had said, you know, if you come up to the front if you want to get a chance to know God, and, and the words that he used. And I remember just raising my hand. Like, I didn't know what to do, but I knew that I wanted God. Like, I knew that I was hurting. I knew all the pain that I had and all the things that I was going through. And I realized that I had a chance to get a chance to like meet a father, is how it felt. That altar service, I remember going down and just praying, and it's like I had the whole youth group there praying with me, their hands were on my back and just, you know, praying with me and encouraging me. And vividly at that moment, the trees were green, the birds sang clear, life made sense all of a sudden. For the first time, I felt like I was in a family. Which was such a strange thing to, you know, 13, 14 years old. It's like, I'm now in a family. But I mean, that's how it felt. It's like I was, all of a sudden, I belonged. You know, I ended up in the top 10% of my class in senior year, which, you know, I look back and it's like, I still don't quite know how I did it, other than God just, there was a change. There was just an absolute change in who I was. And the scripture talks about a new man, and it felt literal. It felt like I was a complete new person. I committed myself to God, and I said, God, I trust you, and that I need you, and I want. I forsook everything else around me at that point, because it's like I knew what it was like to live without, and then I knew what it was like to live with, and all I wanted was to have God's presence and to be close. My career all of a sudden took off, and since 97, I have been professional software engineer. I've done consulting for Dell Computers. I've applied materials. I've worked at XO Group for the past 9 years, where we have Wedding Channel, The Knot, The Bump. You know, we are the number one in the wedding industry, and I've worked in a number of areas, all in technology. I've been blessed to work alongside engineers and people who are multimillionaires, who are leaders in the industry, and to call them friends. And I look back and say, how is it that a kid who was homeless several times, grew up without a dad, grew up without any kind of positive influence in his life, could find yourself sitting at the table eating dinner with millionaires. And it's nothing but God's grace, because I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything special to deserve it other than say, God, I need you. All of that's been great, but I feel like my best blessing, the thing that has just been the one area I didn't expect, was to know what it's like to be a father. Generations before me and my family were just as messed up. And I felt like the curse was broken. And I got a chance to, and I still have the chance now, to be the dad to my kids that I never got to experience, and to show them the daily care and love that a father's supposed to. And going through all of that, it's only helped me understand how God loves me even more.
Yeah. By the grace of God, that's a powerful testimony. And I'm just going to come out and say it. I have four brothers, but my brother Cody is my favorite brother. He's my favorite brother. He really is. But what you saw was an example of God's grace. And His grace gives us the power and the ability. And He gives it to us to do what we cannot do on our own. It's the power of God's grace in our lives. Listen to Ephesians 2 and 8. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You see, God had a plan for Cody's life. God had a plan for Cody's life. God broke into Cody's life, and His grace broke into Cody's life, and grace empowered Cody. And so one of the things that God's grace does for us is God's grace gives us the power to overcome our sinful nature. God woos us to Himself. He pulls us to Himself. You see, grace, the grace of Jesus Christ is like a dance. It's like we're dancing with God our entire life. God, I don't quite trust you with this yet. And God says, let me show you my grace. Let me show you my mercy. And then we begin to let go of more things and trust God with a little bit more of our life and a little bit more of our heart. You see, God is a gentleman. God's not going to come in and just take things away from you. You've got to give some things up. And the only way that we give things up is when we say, I want your grace, God. Change it out in my life. Give me grace. And see, Cody experienced the amazing grace of God. Have you ever been just forgiven? Completely forgiven, set free from addiction? Last week we heard a powerful message about how God had set Jacinta free from the addictions that were on her life, that were killing her, that were tearing her apart. She was bound by those things. And it's only by the grace of God that those chains are broken. Generational chains can become broken. I love that. I love how Cody says the most amazing thing is that I'm now a father. And that his testimony is this, is he didn't have a dad to show him how to be a father. Jesus teaches him how to be a father. His grace teaches him how to be a father. And so when you begin to realize all of the things that Jesus has done for you, how he has pardoned us, how he took our punishment, how he has pardoned us and released us from the consequences that we deserve as sinners, something starts to happen in your life. Things begin to change. You begin to respond differently. You begin to act differently. And what I'm talking about today is the grace of God. The grace of God makes you different. It changes you. It causes us to be more like him. And so really what the grace of God is, not just the mercy of God, not just what we experience through his mercy, but we begin to experience God's favor. God's favor. That's what grace is. It's not just mercy. It's favor. And here's a wonderful dictionary. This is a wonderful definition in the dictionary about grace. It says, grace is the unmerited, unearned love and favor of God toward human beings. It's divine influence acting in a person to make the person pure, morally strong. It's the condition of a person brought to God's favor through this influence. Through grace, we're brought to God's favor by the influence of God. But it's a special virtue. It's a gift. And it's given to a person by God. It is grace. Now, I don't know if I've explained it well enough. Let me go a little deeper. Okay, so we've got the mercy of God and we've got the favor of God. We need an example of this. And Pastor Kevin Gerald just had a perfect example. He says that mercy is like a judge finding you guilty, but then withholding any punishment. That's mercy. Finding you guilty, but withholding any punishment from you. That's grace. That's mercy. Now listen to this. Favor is like the same judge then awarding you $10 million and making you his beneficiary after finding you guilty. That's what we get. We get the mercy and the favor of God. Is anybody excited about that? Is anybody in this house realize that what God has done for you? Not only did he declare you not guilty, and you know you're guilty. I know I'm guilty. But he gives us his favor. He gives us his favor. He makes us the beneficiary of all of his promises. That is grace. And so when you have become the beneficiary of God's grace, God's mercy, and God's favor, something begins to happen in your life. Things begin to change. You begin to act differently. You begin to respond differently. Guess what? You begin to think differently. When God has come into your mind and taken over, you get new desires and new passions. And for the first time, you start talking to your Creator. The Creator of heaven and earth, you begin to talk to, the creation begins to talk to the Creator. And so hope, some people have never experienced hope. See, what Cody was talking about was hope. God gave him hope. And God began to stir up dreams and passion. It began to stir in his life, and he started to dream again. Because one of the things that God's grace does is God's grace gives us passion for life. And you begin to actually care about things. In fact, you actually start to care about yourself. Because when you experience God's mercy, when you experience his grace, and you experience his love for you on your life, guess what you get to start doing? You get to start loving yourself and forgiving yourself. And so, I've got a story. When I was in high school, y'all, I was too cool for school. I was just too cool for school. I never went. I was at my wife, she wasn't my wife at the time, she was my girl, but I was at Tabitha's school more than I was at my own school. I'd show up on her campus, this was all the way across town, she goes, "Don't you have class?" No. I'm going to your school. So I never went. I never went. I mean, I'm not making this up. My highest grade was a 28. And I didn't even do the assignment to get that 28. It was ridiculous. But I never went. I didn't care. But when I got the grace of God in my life for the first time, I woke up in the middle of my high school career. And I said, "Oh my goodness, I'm supposed to be doing something here. They're asking things from me." And y'all, God started waking me up. He started giving me responsibility. God's grace gave me responsibility. And he began to reveal to me that the lie I had been living, that nothing matters. What's the point? He broke that. He broke that. And so guess what I started doing? God gave me a new heart, and I began to have a heart for everything I was doing because I had a new heart. And y'all, I went around to my teachers, and I told them what God had done for me in my life. I remember going to Mrs. Seaborn, and she was, I don't even remember what the class was for, but I said, "Miss Seaborn, I'm so sorry. I know I've never done anything you've asked me to do. I've never done any of these assignments." She was always in the parking lot saying, "Will, where are you going? It's time to go to class. Why are you leaving?" And Miss Seaborn tried and tried and tried. But I remember going to her and telling her, "God changed me. God has changed me." And I didn't realize it, but she was a Christian. And she goes, "Amen, brother." And she said, Will, tell this kid what you're telling me." And she was like using me to talk and witness to folks in the class. It was awesome. But I said, I don't know what I need to do, Miss Seaborn, but I want to graduate. I want to graduate. I want to do whatever it takes. And she helped me. And I worked my tail off. We worked and worked and worked, and I did every assignment imaginable. I said, "Wow, this is a lot of work." I even went to summer school. Why have school when you're supposed to have summer? And I realized something, that I wasn't doing it for the teachers. I wasn't doing it for Mrs. Seaborn. In fact, I wasn't even doing it for myself. I was doing it for Jesus. You see, I was doing it for Jesus. When I began to work really hard, I realized that I wasn't doing it for anything else other than the reason that God gave me a brand new heart. He healed me, He delivered me, and He began to make me come alive. And I began to work for Jesus. I began to work for Jesus. And while I was studying this message, the very perfect thing God gave me, it says, "Do you know that the Hebrew word for work and worship is the exact same word? Avada. It's probably meant to be said with the Greek, you know, avada. But that's what it is. God made me worship Him. I began to worship God by doing my best. And I want to tell you something. This is why. It wasn't to make Will look good. "Wow, man, Will is just doing such a great job. Will is doing awesome." What happened was something supernatural in my life. And they got to see a supernatural thing happen. See, something happened to an ordinary boy. Something extraordinary happened to an ordinary boy. It was the grace of God. They got to see the grace of God. And so Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." You are serving the Lord Christ. Because when you have grace in your life, things start to matter for the first time. People matter. Relationships matter. You stop treating people like dirt. Because God didn't treat you like dirt. Because God came in and changed you. He forgave you. He broke chains in your life. He healed you. And when you mess up over and over and over again, He still forgives you. And that begins to work on your heart and in every relationship that you have. He begins to change you. You start treating people with respect and with love. Relationships matter for the first time. What you do for a living matters, that you start caring. You try harder. You start taking ownership and taking care of the blessings that God has given you because you're doing it for Him. You're doing it for Him. Remember that I told you that it's the grace of God that gives you the power and ability to have us do things that we can't do on our own. I want to tell you today that I graduated high school by the grace of God. Not only did I graduate high school, I went on to be the very first person in my family to graduate from college. The very first person of 8 and 9 brothers and sisters. I can't even count them. There's a lot of them. But that is the grace of God. And what I would love to go back to those teachers and I would love to tell them, hey, look what God did. God did this. Remember that kid that was always stoned? That was me. But look what God has done in my life. It's your grace. And God took an ordinary boy and did an extraordinary thing to show his grace, to show his mercy. And so God gives you a passion for life. And I've got a disclaimer this morning. This is not a message to preach to you that the grace of God is going to give you success. The grace of God is going to make you rich and prosper. That's not what this message is about at all. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. But do not be surprised that because of grace in your life and the passion that God has given you, that you don't stand out and shine wherever you are working today. Don't be surprised that your boss doesn't notice the creativity that God has given you, that God has took this homeless boy that we saw on a screen and he's put him in places he could never imagine because of God's grace. Not to make Cody rich, but to give God glory. And I am spitting all over the place. But God's grace can give you the power and ability to do things you could not ever imagine. I never thought in a million years that I would be a pastor. But by the grace of God, listen to this, 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, all grace. So that having all sufficiency, being sufficient in everything at all times, you may abound in every good work. God gives us grace to do good works. God gives us grace to glorify his name. And when you do your best, when you serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's going to spill out into every area of your life. It's going to spill out. You won't be able to hide what God, even if you're shy, like me. When you allow God's grace to move in your life, people are going to say, what is going on with you? What is happening? You're different. Hey, why are you trying so hard? You're making us look bad. What's going on? God's grace, that this job is a blessing that God has given me. God's grace. And you begin to try harder. You begin to work harder because of God's grace. And so I have another story. Hopefully it's short. But when I was 19 years old, a sweet lady from our church, she got me hired at this law firm. And I began to work at this law firm, and I was a mail boy. I was the guy that pushed the mail cart and, you know, gave little mail to everybody. And, man, when you're a mail boy, you hear every conversation that happens in every office. And they absolutely ignore you like you're completely invisible. So I knew everything that was going on here. But I was working this way for, you know, a couple years, and God gave me this fascination for technology. I love technology. So the IT manager at this law firm, he would work a few hours after, you know, after the day ended to work on computers. So I would go up and I would help him. And so every night I'd go up and say, all right, what are we doing today? And I began to work with him, and I began to watch what he was doing and learn. I was just fascinated by it. And so I did this for a couple years. And then one day they fired him. And they said, hey, mailboy, come here. We're going to make you the IT manager of this entire law firm. And I said, wait a minute. I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. And then sometimes God gives you the grace to shut up. And so I said, okay. And so I remember just being completely in over my head every day, all day long, every day. There was stuff going on. I was like, how do I fix this? And one day, this big, expensive server went down. And everybody's like, hey, Will, I can't get to this. Okay, I'm working on it. I had no idea what to do. Not a clue. I was terrified. But then I remembered, God, you gave me this job. And God, you know everything. You made galaxies. You've made the human body the most complex machine on the planet. You know everything. And so I asked God to help me. And so I laid my hands on this server. Jesus, please make this thing work. And it started working. It started working. That's what happened. I didn't reset the TCP/IP stack and, you know, reformat the hard drive and load the operating system and you know, do transmission control protocol, internet protocol. I didn't do any of that. It was God's grace. And you know what? Somebody came up to me and asked me. He said, what did you do to fix that? I laid hands on it and I prayed for it in the name of Jesus. That's what I told them. That's what I told them. And so the story was to not make Will look good, but that story was to make a good God look good. The God that I serve, I gave God credit for that because I didn't belong there in the first place. God put me there, and I gave him credit for it. And so when someone's life, when you experience the grace of God, something is always changing in you. It's you're stirred up. You're not able to sit still. God's grace is a moving, powerful thing. It doesn't let you settle. It doesn't let you sit. It stirs you up and says, there's more for you. I have more for you. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. God has more for you. And so it changes you. And you start realizing that every good thing in your life is from God. I started seeing all of these amazing things because of God, because of his grace. It's even scriptural. James 1 and 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights. If you have something good in your life, it's from Jesus. It's the grace of God. It is the grace of God. And what God is asking us to do is to shine as lights in the world. He's asking us to reflect his image. Really, our job, our entire job is to give God credit when credit is due. That's what God's asking for us. And so he uses us to point back to the light source. We reflect his image to the people we work with, to our family. Your family can't help but notice when God starts to move in your life. Matthew 5 and 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. Listen to this. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So I want to tell you something today. Do not be afraid to be extraordinary for God. Do not be afraid. Let them see God working in your life. Okay, but wait a minute, Will. Pastor Will, that's kind of being prideful, isn't it? Isn't it being flamboyant or ostentatious? You're flaunting that. Our goal should never be to bring recognition to ourselves, but to bring him recognition. Our point, we're to shine a light for Jesus, but not to put on a light show. Amen? Now listen to this. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And here's what pride does. Pride is the thing that creeps in and says, I did this. I worked hard. I accomplished this. It was me. I did this. And we take the attention away from God, and we start putting it on ourselves. And what we are doing is we are robbing God of his glory. And we can lose sight of that sometimes. But one thing we have to realize, no matter how far you've gone, no matter how wealthy or whatever you think success is or whatever you have done, if you're not giving God glory for it, realize this. God gave you the ability to breathe this morning. That's God's grace. It's a gift from God. The ability to put conscious thought towards making two words fit together in a sentence, which sometimes God has to help me with that. But that is God's grace. Your next heartbeat is a gift from God. And so I want to give God all of the credit in my life. And here's what humility is. Humility is simply this. It's simply giving God credit for the good in your life. I want to say this. Another thing about grace is promise-based. It's not performance-based. Let me explain what this is. God is not good to us because we've done pretty well this week. God is good to us because God is good. God, did you hear me? God is good to us because God is good. We can't earn this. We can't earn this. Listen to this. In the book of Exodus, God gives this man Moses a task. He tells Moses, Moses, I want you to do some amazing miracles in Egypt. I'm going to use you, and you're going to go before the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh. And you're going to demand that he lets God's people go. And you know what Moses did? Moses started making excuses. God, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. I can't even speak properly. I can't even speak properly. And remember that murder thing I did? And he said in Exodus 3 and 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I love this. God took every one of Moses' excuses. He says, your mouth? Who made your mouth? Yeah, you can't speak, but who made your mouth? And he also said this to Moses, I will be with you. That is the promise. So you have a promise today. And he says, the same power that I demonstrate to you in secret, I will demonstrate to them openly. Why? So that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, has appeared to you. And here's what Moses was saying, what God was saying to Moses. He said, Moses, my point is not to impress them with you. I'm going to impress them with me. And so grace shouts out in our lives to everyone around us. It shouts out. It proclaims, I'm extraordinary because of the grace of God. I am able because of the grace of God. I am alive today because of the grace of God. I'm a good father because I have a good father. Because of the grace of God. That's what shouts out to people. And it's really not about how well we are doing. Well, God, I prayed today. I read my Bible. I've done my Daniel fast. I've been fasting, and God, so far today, I haven't messed up. So I know that you're going to listen to me today, God. That's not how it works. On our best day, we are ragamuffins. On our best day, we need the grace of God more than our worst day. More than any day, we need God's grace. And so here's what our qualifications are. Here's the qualifications for grace. That we're jacked up, and we're desperate, and we need a Savior. That's our qualifications. That's our qualifications. And so he draws us with his grace. He saves us. He washes us in his blood. He washes all of our sins away. He fills us with his spirit. And he woos us with his grace and his favor every day in our lives. And he gets the glory for making ordinary nobodies extraordinary. And so one of the things that God's grace does is it overrules all of our excuses. In fact, God rejects your excuses. He declares your excuses to be irrelevant and no longer accurate. Everything that you say that disqualifies you, God says, grace. Well, God, I've never done this before. Grace. I don't even know how to be a good father. I don't know how to be a good son. I've never done this. Grace. I don't know how to be a good parent. Grace. a good father showed my brother how to be a good father. Grace. But I failed too many times, God. You know that I failed you over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah, you have. Grace. But I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. You're right. Grace. Do you hear what I'm saying to you today? Grace. Grace. See, all God has is unqualified people. None of us deserve anything. We deserve death, hell, and the grave, but he paid for it. Grace. Paul, who wrote almost half of the New Testament, God used him in a way that he never even thought he'd be used. God used him to speak to the very people he persecuted. Listen to what he says. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace towards me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but it was the grace of God that was with me. Grace. I want to say a few things about grace. Grace is never ending. Grace never will run dry. You cannot outrun the grace of God. Grace is not just for when you are doing well or even when you are doing poorly. It's not something that is with you only when you've made the right choice or done the right thing. But it is the power that comes from God that makes you want to do the right thing. It's power. And I want everybody here today to realize, to start seeing your life. Start seeing your life through the lens of God's grace. On Easter Sunday, Pastor Robin asked us to start praying about how we could complete a sentence. It was such a powerful thing. The sentence was, by the grace of God, I. By the grace of God, I will finish school. By the grace of God, I will raise good kids. I will support my family. I want you to start thinking about, by the grace of God in your life, there's something impossible right now in your life. I want you to know that the answer is grace. Your marriage seems like it's a wreck and there's no answer for it. Let me tell you what the answer is. It's grace. You may think that it is impossible, but grace. Grace will make you a good husband, a good father, a woman or a man of integrity. It's all because of grace. It's all possible. And so some of you have been walking in grace your entire life. Some of you know all about it, and you've just agreed with everything I say. I want to remind you that you are what you are and what you are by the grace of God. Keep being extraordinary for Jesus. Some of you in here today think this message isn't for me. I've blown it. I'm so far beyond the grace of God, you have no idea. God has an idea, and the idea was grace. Grace gives us the ability and the power to move past pain and to move past all of the failure. You don't have to wear a label on your head of your sin. Grace. Grace. You see, condemnation, that judgment, that the judgment on your life, it may come from yourself, it may come from your friends, and it may come from the enemy, but it does not come from God. God's voice today is mercy. It's love. It's forgiveness. Jesus knew that you couldn't hold up your end of the bargain. So we held up both ends of the bargain. And grace picks us up when we blow it and says to us, get up. Keep going. I paid for this. Grace says, I paid for this. I love you. I forgive you. Trust me more. Grace says, I am better than what you were looking for when you fell. I'm better. Grace woos us to him. Some of you don't even know the grace of God, but you want what I'm talking about today. I want you to know it's a free gift from God. It's free. You can't earn this. You can't earn this. Cody didn't earn that. I didn't earn this. I didn't deserve it, but God's grace, it's here for you today. Let's pray. Oh God, we are so thankful, God, for your grace, for your mercy, for your favor. We didn't deserve it, but you gave it to us anyways. While we were yet sinners, you died for us. And God, we just thank you today for your mercy. Thank you, God, for the power to overcome our own nature, the power to overcome our past, the power to overcome addiction. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are grace. And we thank you, God, today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for your favor. Thank you that we are beneficiaries of your grace today. Can we just give God some praise right now? Let's give God some praise. Amen. Amen. By grace, the answer is grace. So we want you to go in grace today. You may be dismissed. Go out in the grace of Jesus Christ. We also want to let you know that if you want prayer, that we'll have pastors and staff and elders down here to pray for your needs. We will pray for you today. And we also want you to know that at the end of every service, we offer baptism as well. Let's give God some praise. Amen. You may be dismissed. God bless you.